Good morning and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. And I am so glad that you are here this morning because we're starting a new journey. Today marks the beginning of a brand new series here at Awaken. And I'm calling this one Bad Religion. Oh, I love that title. Now today, what I want to do is I simply want to set this series up. I'm going to show you where we're going to be over the next couple of weeks. Then I want to leave you with a question, or two questions rather. Two questions that I want you to sit with over this week, and two questions that are going to frame this entire series for us. We'll be in this one for, I guess, 8 weeks, because what we're going to be doing is looking at these seven woes of Jesus, these seven statements that Jesus makes, seven condemnations that Jesus offers about religion. Jesus is throwing down. He's saying, these are certain ways in which religion is causing harm to people, certain ways in which religion is being manipulated, distorted, ways in which it's actually destroying people's souls. And instead of just leaving us at these statements and the condemnations that Jesus is offering, I want to flip it around and show what true religion looks like, what religion according to Jesus looks like, religion that brings freedom, that brings life, that brings joy to your soul. Isn't that why we're all here? Isn't that why you're at home right now, or in your car, or going for a jog, listening to this or watching this? Because what you truly desire is a form of spirituality that connects you with all things. Religion, it comes from, it's a Latin word, two Latin words, religare, which means to reconnect, to put back together. Isn't that why you're here? Because you've realized there's certain things that have been fractured, whether it's within yourself, fractured between you and others, between you and God, between you and nature, and your desire is to see that which has been fractured put back together. That's why Jesus was here on this earth. Jesus came to make things whole, to put back together all that's been broken. That includes you. Yeah, we all find brokenness in different ways throughout life. And a healthy form of religion, a healthy expression of religion, is something that brings wholeness and healing to the places that have been broken. So that's my prayer for all of us as we go through these next couple of weeks together, is that wherever we feel a sense of brokenness, wherever things have been fractured, that they would begin, because it's a long process, is it not? Making whole, putting back together. It takes its time. So my prayer over the next couple of weeks is that that process would begin for all of us, wherever we happen to find ourselves. Now, when Jesus offers these seven woes, these seven statements, he's offering a critique against some of the current forms of religion. And if we're all being honest, we've experienced some of these forms ourselves. We know people who have experienced these forms. It's not like the things that Jesus was critiquing 2,000 years ago are non-existent in our world today. All of these things find their way of working themselves into our life, into our world right now. Maybe you've walked away from certain systems that have been harmful. Maybe you know people who have walked away from harmful, destructive systems. Maybe you know people who are still caught in such a cycle today. I mean, I've heard way, way too many stories of people who they were immersed in a system, in a way of seeing things, a way of doing religion that was really harmful, destructive. They realized this, and then they walked away from religion altogether. Jesus, instead of just throwing the whole thing out and saying, well, religion is awful, forget about it, he offers a new way forward, a different way, a more healthy, whole way. He shows what at the heart, what religion is meant to be, a way of living that, again, connects you with all things. And we all have stories of people who have been really hurt by religion or by others. And that's why I wanted to do this series, because I wanted to critique some of those systems, but not leave us there, because that's boring. You can critique, but then you have to build back up. So I want to do the building up, and that's what I really want to do over these next couple of weeks, is I want to build up. Okay, great. There are certain forms we all know are bad, are harmful, but what's the opposite of that? What's the way of doing religion that does what it promises, that offers that which it promises, a life of salvation, a life of freedom, a life, the type of life that you truly desire for you, for your friends, for your family, a life that is authentic to who you happen to be. So let's set the scene for us. As I mentioned, we're going to be in Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 23. But before we jump into these seven woes, let's look at the context, because that's really important for us to understand, okay, what's going on here? What's the scene? What's the larger story? What's happening in the story at this time? Why is Jesus offering these statements? We don't want to look at these statements as just floating verses that just come kind of floating in without any larger story that they're connected to. So what is the larger story that Matthew's telling us here? So first, Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples. Then he gives a bit of an intro and then he goes into these statements. So what we know right from the beginning is that Jesus is teaching to the crowds. His disciples are right there listening as well. These are people, they've been following Jesus. They're pressing in. They can't get enough of what he's saying, of what he's teaching. There's something about his life. There's something about his words that's resonating with everyone that's listening. They know that what Jesus is saying is something that is true. They can't rationally prove it, but they just know deep within themselves that the life that Jesus is offering is a life of truth. And so the crowds have been following Jesus. They've been listening to him tell these stories. He's been teaching in parables, and they want more. Now let's back it up even further. I said that Jesus had been teaching in parables, and then after he's taught a couple of parables, what we find here, if we go to Matthew 22, verse 15, we're told, then the Pharisees, after all these parables, the Pharisees went out and they laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. So they sent their disciples to him. They wanted to ask a couple of questions. They wanted to pin Jesus down. They wanted to make him look like a fraud in front of all these people. They didn't like what he was saying. And so they sent their disciples, their posse, their people, in order to make Jesus look foolish. Now, this is really important that I say this right now. Whenever we look at the Pharisees, normally the Pharisees get a bad rap. All of the Pharisees get a bad rap. And it's true. Jesus reserves his harshest critique for the Pharisees and some of the other religious leaders. But let's keep in mind that all the Pharisees aren't being critiqued. Just certain expressions of the Pharisees' form of religion. So it's really important for us to know that not all Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus. There were some Pharisees that were God-loving teachers who listened to Jesus, who respected what he had to say, who gained wisdom from what he had to offer. So whenever we say Pharisees, we're not talking about 100% of the Pharisees. Yes, we're talking about a certain subset of the Pharisees who are leading the people down a path of bad religion. So these Pharisees, this set of Pharisees, they didn't like what Jesus was saying, so they wanted to trap him. And they go, they ask a couple of questions, but Jesus is able to evade that trap that they sent him. It says here, verse 22, when the crowds heard this, they were amazed. They were amazed because Jesus couldn't be trapped. They weren't able to pin him into a corner. And then it continues, that same day, verse 23, the Sadducees, another expression of the Jewish faith at the time, another sect at the time. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Now they're trying to trap Jesus. All these religious teachers, they're trying to put Jesus into a corner. They're trying to expose him as a fraud in front of all the crowds. You've been listening to him. We're going to ask a couple of questions in order to prove that he is not who he says he is, or that he's not leading you down a path of true religion. But again, when the crowds heard this after Jesus answered the question, they were astonished at his teaching. The Sadducees couldn't do it. First the Pharisees tried, they couldn't pin him down. Then the Sadducees, they couldn't pin him down. Then it continues, verse 34, hearing that Jesus, I love this, had silenced the Sadducees. The Sadducees had nothing left to say. They like left the room at this point. The Pharisees got together. They were going to try to trap Jesus again. And of course, did it work? No. Jesus, a little too smart for them. He didn't get trapped into a corner. He amazed the crowds again. Here we go. No one could say a word in reply. And from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. They tried, but no matter what, they couldn't expose Jesus as a fraud. His teachings were too true. Then we get to verse 23. So after all these attempts to trap Jesus, we get to 23, which is, it's at this point now where Jesus unleashes, I think it's fair to say, unleashes a scathing critique against the religious leaders. And here's what he says. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat, which is a seat of authority. Moses being a highly respected Jewish ancestor. So you must obey them and do everything that they tell you. Hey, the things that they're teaching you, yeah, obey them. Listen, they're teaching you the right things. But do not do what they do, for they don't practice what they preach. Yeah, listen to them, but don't be like them. They're offering some truth, but their life, it's so opposite what they're teaching. They've taken something that is true and they've distorted it. They've turned it into just simply a bunch of rules, a bunch of do's and don'ts. They have completely removed the spirit out from the law. The law was given. I mean, the law, in Jewish religion, it was seen as a gift. It was a gift because, hey, here is the way to live a life that is true. Here's a way to honor God, to honor others, to live in unity with all of your neighbors, with the entire world. Here's a way to live out the truest expression of the person that you've been created to be. And they have just zapped the spirit from the law. They've turned it into just a bunch of rules that you're supposed to follow. And then Jesus says this, they tie up heavy loads and they put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. They tie up heavy loads and they place them on others' shoulders. They're placing weight. They're placing burdens on the shoulders of the people, and they themselves are not willing to come to the rescue. They're not willing to help. They're not even willing to lift a finger. One of the weakest parts of your body. You can't lift much with one finger. And these teachers aren't even willing to do that. The picture that I get, maybe you had this picture too. When I was in middle school or high school, there would be some kids that I would see walking the halls with these massive book bags. And it's as if as they were walking through the halls, they were leaning backwards because the weight that was in those book bags was just so much weight that it was pulling them back. It was weighing them down. You could tell they were uncomfortable. You could tell that there was way too much weight that they were carrying. This is the picture that I get. That the Pharisees are just placing these burdens on people's shoulders and they're being weighed down. Their shoulders are slumped. They're getting scoliosis from the amount of weight that's being placed on them. And the Pharisees, they're simply watching. The teachers, they're just watching people walk by. They're seeing the life, the joy being zapped out of their bodies, out of their faces. And they're just sitting there watching, not willing to do anything to bring healing to the people who are weighed down. Now, what I find really interesting about this is a little earlier in Matthew, Matthew chapter 11, we find some of these same words being used by Jesus in his teaching. Here's Jesus. Now, this is a familiar verse. Maybe you've heard this one before. Matthew 11, verse 28. Here's Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." There's that word, burdened. All of you who are feeling the weight of the world. When it feels like the world is just crushing you, crashing down on you, come to me. You can bring your burdens to me. I will carry them. I will take them. Jesus says, I will give you rest. If you're feeling burdened, you're feeling weighed down, I'll provide rest. You see the difference here? Pharisees won't even lift a finger to help. And Jesus is saying, I'll carry it for you. I'll take the weight of this. Continues, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Doesn't that just evoke a sigh within your soul? I mean, how often in life does it feel like the burdens are piling up? I mean, I could give you a list right now of all the weight that I feel like I'm carrying. And then I get this invitation, come to me. Bring it to me. It's safe. I'm safe. Everything that's weighing you down, including your guilt, including any shame about who you are, burdens that have been placed on you by yourself, bring it all to Jesus. This is the offer. This is the invitation. I'll provide rest. Yeah. I'll take all that's been weighing you down and I'll carry it, for my yoke is light. You notice the difference here between Jesus, his invitation, and how the Pharisees and other teachers of the law are living. Jesus is willing to get into the ring with people. The Pharisees, they're like spectators. They're saying, do this, do this, do this. But yet they're not willing to actually walk with others through the messiness of life. And then Jesus goes on, he actually gives a couple examples of how the Pharisees live their lives. And it's all for show. It's all for show. It's hypocritical. They're saying this, but then the only thing that they care about is looking religious, looking pious, looking righteous. They only care about making themselves righteous by their religious acts. Jesus is like, you don't need any of that. None of that. No, no, no. This isn't about a show. It's about honesty, authenticity. It's about just being completely honest with where you're at, with what's happening. That is the path to true religion. So let's wrap this up by asking two questions. First, who is your religion for? Who's your religion for? Is your religion, whatever form of religion you practice, is it for you or is it for them? The Pharisees, teachers of the law, they were wrapped up in a form of religion that was for others. It was a show. They wanted to show through their religious acts how pious and religious they could be. Of course, they cared for themselves, but they wanted to prove something to others by how they were living their lives. Who's your form of religion for? Are you trying to prove to others how religious you are? Or are you letting all of that go and you're connecting to God? You're following a form of religion in a way that works for you. And every season is different. There are certain practices, ways of doing things that work for a time, that work for a season. But is there anyone that you're trying to prove yourself to? Is it a parental figure? Some authority figure? Someone gave you a script at some point along the line and you've been following that script because you're a good follower of Jesus, but you're coming to realize that that script no longer works for you. And so you need to riff on that script a bit. You need to change some things up. You need a second draft. Who is your religion for? Is it for you? And helping you move forward and walk the path of healing and forming a deeper connection to God, yourself, others, the world around you. This is the true religion that Jesus is offering. A religion that's for you and your relationship with God. And then a second question. Is your religion making you feel lighter or heavier? And this is a question that I have learned the importance of, tremendously learned the importance of over the past probably 3 years. Because I realized in my life, I was taking on things that weren't mine to carry. And I still do this. I'm still learning this all the time. There are things that I have been taking on, forms of religion, forms that others had passed on to me, or that others said, hey, you must do this. You need to do this. And they were heavy. They didn't fit. They were weighing me down. Jesus is saying, hey, religion, true religion, it should make you feel lighter. It should bring more joy. You should look around and say, I get to live this way. Remember, the law was considered a gift. The life that Jesus was teaching about was a life of pure joy. It was a life of gift, saying, I get to walk a certain way. It's not a bunch of rules that I have to live in life, but I get to live a particular way because it's the best for me, for my soul. It's the best for all the others that I get to share this world with. It's a way of honoring God, but it's the best way of living for our own souls and for the life of others around us. So as we go through these next couple of weeks together, I simply want to give you permission to let go of all that's weighing you down. If there's any forms of religion that you have taken on and they're not serving you well, my prayer is that you would give yourself grace to let them go. And as we emerge out of these next couple of weeks together, my hope is that you'll feel lighter, that you'll have jettisoned some of these weights that you have on you, and that you will walk away feeling lighter than you ever have. That you'll come to experience this yoke that Jesus is offering, this light yoke that Jesus is promising, and that you'll discover rest. So this week, may you first become aware of that which is weighing you down. And as your awareness of those weights grows, may you find the grace to remove them, to offer them, to hand them to Jesus. And as you do so, may you find a lightness and a joy. May you come to discover the path of true religion, a path that brings salvation and healing to your soul. May you discover religion that connects you, that unites you with all things, that brings you closer to God, and that brings healing to all that is broken or fractured within and around you. Grace and peace to you this week, my friends.